Bloomington residents will see more investment in roadwork next year, plus the first steps toward a new pool at O'Neill Park on the west side. Those are just a few of the highlights in the city's new $230 million spending plan. City Council members got another look at it last night with a final vote scheduled for April. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner is in studio with Ryan Dunham to talk about what the new budget means for taxpayers.
The mayors of Bloomington-Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Once again, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
So you got another look at next year's budget at the meeting last night. This is the, you know, the big $230 million spending plan that goes into effect May 1st. So what do you think are some of the most important things that this budget reflects?
I think the first thing, of course, is obviously, as usual, it's balanced. And we not only balance our budgets, but we always turn money back. So we put money into our reserves at the end of every year. We don't spend it just because it's been allocated. The budget's only going – the total amount is only going up a little over 1%. Some of our expenses have gone up beyond that, but we've been able to make do with respect to improving economies and actually a little more proper and sophisticated budgeting to really get a more accurate picture of what we're going to need and when we're going to need it. So I think those are important, but definitely we're moving forward on capital projects. Our operating side is generally pretty good. We've got a statewide award for our police fire pension funding, and that's in pretty good shape. We do have some challenges in about 2024 that we'll have to deal with, but those things are in good shape. It's our capital projects that we're focusing on, and that is the O'Neill Pool or Aquatic Center. How much do we put in there? I'm strongly in favor of making it an aquatic center and more of a destination for people, not just throughout Bloomington, but potentially, since it's by an interstate, throughout the region. Also, the expansion of the library that's been long discussed. I'm hoping that we can finally make some progress and move on that. And a new fire station of some form, and that could take a variety of different forms, in the northeast part of Bloomington to try to reduce our emergency 911 response times. They are not bad there, but they're not great. And we want to make sure that 90% or more of our calls are answered within 6 minutes. So those are from my takeaway, the highlights. And there are a lot of very good things in the budget. I think Tim Gleason did an excellent job in balancing our needs and some of what myself and the council would like to see in the new budget.
There is a public hearing. As you talk about next steps, there's a public hearing on the budget. It's coming
up. That would
be
March 9th.
March 9th.
Yeah.
Council would then be voting sometime in April. So what decisions still have to be made on the budget? I guess what is still in flux at this point over the next month and a half or so?
Well, some of that will depend on what the council decides. From my perspective, there are things that I would like to have added to the budget, but I'm not going to bring them up now because this is kind of the 11th hour, because this has been going on for quite some time. From the standpoint of the staff, I think the public is only now, you know, with the second meeting, talking about this, being engaged in this. So it doesn't mean that we won't make some adjustments, but dramatic adjustments are very unlikely at this point.
So the next budget is looking to set aside $1.3 million for repairs to the 46-year-old Market Street parking garage in downtown Bloomington, which is a fair amount of money. What do you think the long-term plan should be for that garage?
I think we need to recognize that with the 380, I believe it is, something like that, nearly 400 spaces every day that are in the lot, it's an important is that we should revitalize that, maybe even as Alderman Black mentioned last night, tear it down, start from scratch. Now, we would be really having lots of parking issues if we just tore the whole thing down and maybe didn't do it in phases. So I think that should be done. And we might, therefore, in a reconfiguration of this building, make it more of a destination and maybe even rent out some more of the floor rather than just to the post office. So maybe have some light retail come in as well. So that's the approach that I think we should take, rather than continuing to Band-Aid the garage with, million-some-dollar fixes here, $500,000 fixes here. It was built in the 1970s, early 70s. I think it's about time for us to have something that's more modern.
I guess, why hasn't it been dealt with in a more permanent manner already. I mean, this the idea of it aging and requiring a few hundred thousand dollars here and there.
Well, because Bloomington, for the better part of the last two generations, has been focused more on sprawl and has let lots of things, including our streets and infrastructure, deteriorate. And those are what I would call legacy costs. There's nothing that you can do to complain about the past. You just got to go forward. I mean, we've got lots of sewers and sidewalks and street repaving that should have been done in the past. They were not. Those were not high priorities. The parking garage was not a high priority. I think that that should have been a critical piece of downtown revitalization at least 20 years ago. But that's my opinion. I wasn't mayor then. I'm mayor now. And that's what we're going to try to do.
What's a new garage cost these days?
Oh, it depends on what you include in that.
Well, let's say it's some light retail, you know, nothing too elaborate.
It's very likely in the $14, $15 million range. It could be more, but we would only escalate the cost if we had other tenants that were going to guarantee that they were going to come in. So certainly for $15 million, we could roughly, give or take, you know, replace what we have, maybe make some room for small additional retail and the current post office that has a contract with the city as it is, and have more amenities and have more safety features within the garage. I think it would be a much more attractive place for people to park, kind of like some of the garages in Uptown Normal, than it currently is.
So the new budget, as proposed, has some money for design work for the O'Neill Park Pool project.
That's correct. $738,000.
To be precise. What about the new this idea of a new East Side Fire Station, library expansion? Is there any money set aside for either of those?
Well, some of the library board itself has been pushing that and paying for those costs largely in terms of planning and what some of their options there might be. We're a little behind that point in deciding on a fire station or fire stations. There are many options that we have in terms of kind of moving the fire station chess pieces around in the Northeast, and that's some of what we're still exploring. Now, the good news of that is that you don't need as much time to design a fire station and to move forward as you would with a library, and trying to turn the library and perhaps much of City Hall into more of a campus and destination than it currently is.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham here with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. So Terry, in the new budget, tax revenue is in pretty decent shape. It's up about 1.5% across various taxes that the city pulls in. There's one area of weakness, though, utility tax. So
yes.
This is the city is budgeting for almost $500,000 less in utility tax next year, largely because of the reduction in the telecommunication side of that. And I guess so in plain English, that's because people are, you know, with cell phones are moving away from landlines, and so
Absolutely.
They're not paying that tax. So losing nearly $500,000, how do you account for that? Because some of that historically has been earmarked for police and fire pensions.
Well, they are. The increase that was passed in 2014, and by increase, we're still lower than the town of Normal in terms of our utility taxes. But that's going to create even more difficulties in 2024 when we don't have as much money in our police fire pension funding. Now, the state's trying to work on some of that, but and that may help us at the margins, but we're still anticipating having to make some real tough decisions as we move forward with police and fire pensions. Not as many as we already have. So I think our biggest hump was back in 2014 when we dedicated a variety of revenues to our police fire funding.
What do you mean by tough decisions in 2024?
That means we have to figure out, do we raise fees or taxes, or do we make some additional cuts in order to try to fund the police fire pension obligations?
Why is 2024 sort of the magic number, but why is that the decision?
Just in terms of our investments, the investments have not been quite as robust as we've heard. I believe we projected, this is not exactly right, but somewhere around 7.5% returns, and I think they've come closer to about 1% less than that. And so that, as I understand it, is the year where we may have a significant gap, and we got to figure out how to fill it.
I want to ask about a couple of kind of bigger picture economic things. The last recession that we had, the quote-unquote Great Recession, ended about 11 years ago now, and there are some economists who argue that we are due for another smaller contraction in the next year or two. So how well-positioned do you think the city is for something like that? Like, in your mind, as you're making decisions today. Are you accounting for the possibility of another recession, how that would cut into
retail,
income tax?
I mean, we were trying to be as little C conservative as possible, and that is cautious, I would say, in terms of making budgetary projections. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes from time to time, but we're definitely trying to be as cautious as we can. And in terms of building up our reserves, or what some people might call your savings or rainy day fund. And we did have about 10 years ago a situation where the city was a week away from not being able to make payroll, because they didn't have any reserves. Those days are long gone. We've got our fiscal house in order, but that doesn't mean that fiscal house can't be shaken by an economic earthquake. And so obviously those are the kinds of things we don't know, but we're trying to be as cautious as possible. We're not trying to go out on a limb and assume that whatever revenues and growth we have now are just going to continue. That growth in revenue roughly covers the costs of our increasing expenditures, about 1.5%. So that's why there are no tax fee increases of any form in this budget. And actually, most of our budgets have been that way. It's just the three that had some sort of tax or fee increases are the ones that some people remember and get upset about. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you are as mayor. You can't save people from this thing called inflation. And it's not like we're doing something dramatic that we haven't done in the past that costs significant amounts of money, or that we've got more employees. Quite the contrary. We have about 800, we had about 850 employees, full-time equivalents, 10 years ago. We have 650 now, and we serve about 5,000 more people. So we are doing more with less.
One interesting area where the city has found some savings, it was, you know, this budget year, and you'll see it reflected next year, is by bringing in the lawyers who represent the city. So previously it was handled by an outside firm. You'd pay them as like contracted attorneys. They have since been moved to city staff, which is projected to save the city, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars.
Quarter of a million dollars.
Are there any downsides to bringing lawyers in-house like that? What are the barriers to doing that? Why did it take till now?
Well, that's actually a really excellent question, Ryan. And those are mostly personnel political kinds of decisions. The previous city manager, frankly, loved to contract out things and to hire consultants and whatever for different things. And there were some advantages to contracting out our legal services, but they were much more expensive than the previous city manager had anticipated. He argued it was going to save us money. Well, it did not. And some of it's because more people were suing us for all kinds of things, usually frivolous things. And you know, it's not like the city's lost a major lawsuit in a decade or so. So there are a variety of factors, but it's mainly that the about half the city council backed the previous city manager, and they kept us on a contract basis. And it's not just Sorling Northrop, the firm out of Springfield that we contracted with, but we had external consultants to handle our union negotiations. And this is where our current city manager has more than saved us his entire salary in any given set of negotiations, because he does the negotiating himself. And the people from the unions, you know, they may not always like what they hear, but they know he's a straight shooter and he's being honest with them, and that they can ask him questions. I talked to one representative last night, said, gosh, it's such a breath of fresh air to actually be able to talk to a city manager and get an answer. And you will get an answer. You may not always like it, but you'll get an answer, and it'll be a truthful one from Tim Gleason.
That's Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner talking with Ryan Denham. The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Coos.